710 ESPN is me doing a impersonation of Jorge doing an impersonation.
It's very bro-y. It's a very bro-y impersonation.
It is very
That's
bro-y.
Pretty bad.
So this just came through, and I find this to be interesting. Oh, first of all, somebody tweeted, what was that? Do you have that tweet, Jorge?
Yeah, it says, Bron said, if you've never went to a Blockbuster to rent a movie, you're not welcome on the Lakers.
There you go. Remember Blockbuster? Hey, kids, there used to be a place called Blockbuster where we would go rent our movies instead of just watching them on Netflix. So, yeah, a lot of guys here definitely went to Blockbuster video stores, no question. Momo, here's an idea. And by the way, we'll get more of your calls in. 877-710-ESPN. Lakers signed today both Carmelo Anthony and Malik Monk. Schroeder could run it back with the Lakers for a one-year payday. He can go back to being a sixth man of the year contender and then hit the market again next summer. Might not be a better role out there for him at this point.
Oh boy.
What do you think?
Yeah, it could. Could. I mean, it's, you
not
know,
a lot of excitement about it. I don't think there's a lot of excitement among the Lakers fan base about that.
No, and look, he was a potentially useful player. He made sense on paper. It just never worked out on the court. But defensively, he's a really Dennis the Menace. I mean, they really wanted that to work out. They really wanted him to be he was a much better sixth man than he was as a starter.
No question.
And I think he had the contract on the brain the entire year. I think COVID really affected him. He got it, you know, twice, and then especially at the end of the deal, that was a problem.
Yep.
But yeah, look, that's a lot of.
Well,
bad
let me
look,
just ask: will he or will he not be a Laker next year? Just gut feel.
Gut feel, I would say no, because I think they're more likely to bring back THT.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I don't actually.
There's a chance. I don't want to say no. Because the whoever you are referencing, was it a tweet or a caller? I don't know. There's a chance.
Some guy named Keith Smith, who does have a check mark.
Yeah.
Keith Smith from the front office show for NBA Network.
Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, they do have his bird rights, and he was a useful player. It's just the luxury tax is a lot.
Yeah.
And do you want a guy back on your roster after everything contractually blew up on him? And, you know, is he going to be happy? Is he going to be a good teammate? That's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they did that with Dwight a couple of years ago, and remember he signed the non-guaranteed offer?
Sure.
Like, in other words, if you act out, if you're not a good teammate, you're gone. And he was great all year. And I don't know how they're doing it this year. I assume it's a guaranteed deal, but you know, they missed him. He missed them. It's a good reunion. But usually you keep people on a short leash when you bring them back, right? Like, you know, you just kind of incentivize them to do really well and to play really well. And I guess that would do that with Schroeder because he'd be in a contract year again. But are there bad feelings there?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Good question. Here's one tweet from at OC Lakers fan. Tell Momo Marcus Saul is a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
He probably is.
I think
so
that's right.
Got
six
future Hall of Famers on the roster.
Yeah, I think both Gasol brothers are.
Yeah. All right, so Momo, let's go on the record.
All right.
As of today, as of August the 3rd, 2021, and we've not seen anything. We have no idea what this whole thing is going to look like on the floor. But let's go on record. How many wins do the Lakers finish with this year?
So it's a real 82-game season again.
Real 82-game season.
I will go and say 55.
Yeah, I think you're right in the right territory.
Because I don't think LeBron, AD, Russ, those guys, I just don't see them playing as many games as, like, they're just going to, I think they're all going to miss
it. And I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope LeBron plays fewer games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hope now with Westbrook, LeBron says, you know what? There's a playmaker on the floor. We can win without me. I can take this one off. I know that's not in his nature, but I think it's in his best interest. The same thing goes with AD. As long as you've got Westbrook, who, by the way, does not miss games. Westbrook just plays and plays and plays. You know, I think AD or LeBron can afford to miss games, and the Lakers aren't a sure thing loss like they were at times last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think I think you're about right. I think it's a 53-win team. I think it's a team that goes to at least the Western Conference Finals. How about that? How far do they go? At least the...
Yeah, I agree with you. Because remember, the Clippers are not going to have Kawhi all year, most likely. Denver...
Is he out for the year because of the surgery?
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's usually a 6 to 9 month injury, probably 9 months, especially for his own injury history. And he got hurt. Remember, this is a later schedule. So
here's Adrian Wojnarowski. Restricted free agent Talen Tucker has agreed to a 3-year, $32 million deal to stay with the Lakers.
There you go.
His agent at Clutch Sports, Rich Paul and Lucas Newton, tell ESPN. So THT is coming back for this team.
Yeah, $12
million. And that's a pretty good, good
deal. No, $11 million. A little less than $11 million a year.
Yeah, $11 million a year. That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Wait, do we play the canon, the free agent canon, if they sign with the Lakers? Because they're not really off the board, right?
What do you mean
it's
they're not
for
off
the bit.
Board?
It's just for the bit, Lindsay.
It's just for the just bit.
I know.
Bit.
I'm just saying. I feel like we should have a more celebratory sound for when one of the free agents signs with the Lakers.
Yeah.
It should be a happier sound, right?
Now, Momo, have you heard the rumor sound?
No. What's that?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
That's going to be the rumor sound from now on, no matter what rumor we happen to hear. We need a celebratory cannon fire. You're right, Linz. That's what we need, a celebratory cannon fire, now that THT is coming back. So the roster is basically, do they have one spot left?
Jared Dudley.
LeBron, AD, Russ, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore, Trevor Ariza, Malik Monk, and THT. That's 10.
I'm trying to think of who else. Gasol, did you put Gasol
in
there?
Oh, I forgot to put Gasol in there. That's 11.
I think there's one more you're missing.
Is
Wayne
it?
Ellington? You say
I
said
yeah,
Ellington.
I said Wayne Ellington, sent Kent Bazemore, Trevor Ariza, Malik Monk.
I saw Bobby initially said 11. Let me see. Hold on.
THT, I think, makes 12.
Let me look at Bobby.
I think so.
Up to 11 players under contract and two on a two-way. And that was before THT. So I
got
think 12.
Them. They've got Russell Westbrook, Wayne Ellington, Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, Joel Ayayi, LeBron, THT, Trevor Ariza, Kent Bazemore, Alphonso McKinney, Anthony Davis,
under contract. Yeah.
Carmelo, yeah, Dwight, and Marc Gasol.
Yeah, I forgot about Alphonso McKinney. He has a contract for this coming year. So there you have it. That's basically your roster. So I say it's 53 wins and Western Conference Finals at least. And Momo says 55, and you agree Western Conference Finals at least?
Yeah, totally.
How much...
Michael Thompson says we need to play the Ric Flair woo for the celebration sound.
It's a very good idea
good
for Michael Thompson.
That's a good
one. Scale of 1 to 10, how much drama are we going to see this year with this team, Momo?
9.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be...
Hashtag content.
It is going to be an emotional roller coaster. There are going to be ups. There are going to be downs. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be egos. There's going to be balancing things. You know, I think the season comes down to this. How does Westbrook handle himself on a roster, on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and particularly with LeBron James?
Well, right now,
LeBron
he's excited.
And Westbrook play together.
They are all very excited right now, Mace. They're all like hanging out. So there's definitely a group text. There is definitely a lot of emojis going around. There's definitely a lot of competitive testosterone. Like, let's go work out right now. There's a lot of that right now in that group of three. From what I hear, let me scene set for you too. LeBron and Westbrook live like 5 minutes from each other.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know that they've met yet. I know they had this one meeting a couple of weeks ago at LeBron's house with AD there, and they all got on the same page. But ever since then, they've just been texting and talking constantly. They're excited. So what does that mean?
Well, I mean, ultimately, in the heat of the battle, there's going to be need to be some sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to need to be some, you know what, maybe it's not a triple-double tonight. Maybe, you know, LeBron's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. Westbrook needs the ball in his hands. I mean, I think that balancing act is going to be the balancing act that we see all year long.
I think it's on, okay, I personally believe that Westbrook and LeBron are going to get along very well from
okay.
a organizational culture standpoint, from a, they're both, okay, if you know both of, like, I went to LeBron's office once. He lived, you know, in Ohio when he had the LRMR office.
Yeah, yeah.
That place was immaculate. He is such a neat freak. Like, he's, I mean, he would notice if I bumped something on the desk and it moved 1 inch out of place.
Yep.
He would notice.
Wow.
Okay.
That's like Ireland. Ireland is neat freak.
Yeah, yeah. Westbrook is even more than that.
Really?
Yeah. They are very much they're very much the same guy in terms of work ethic, preparation, personal style. I think they're very similar. AD has kind of gone under LeBron's wing to be better at that kind of stuff. I don't want to say he doesn't work hard. I think he does, but LeBron has had a really good influence on him in that way, in terms of preparation, work ethic, you know, get up super early in the morning, do this, do that, right? Westbrook, it might even be more than LeBron. Like, those two guys are, they're going to try to, there was this story out of Oklahoma City early on in Westbrook's career. He and Durant were both like that. And they would get there, first they would get there at 7:30. Then they would get there at 7. Because they were trying to beat each other to the gym every morning. But the guys who worked them out, the coaches there, they would have to tell them, hey, stop. Because the staffers have to come home. It's not fair to ask your guy to meet you there at 5 because you're trying to beat Kevin Durant.
Yeah, isn't the fact that they're so similar conceivably the problem?
No.
It's not.
Because they're so similar in a lot of personal styles and habits, but I think that LeBron has won, and there's a sort of big brother quality to LeBron. Like, if there's one, I don't know that Russ has ever played with somebody like LeBron who's won before, he has tremendous respect for. I think he's gonna fall in line. Like, I don't think he's never played with anybody like this. This is gonna be real. Like, Westbrook has not had a chance to win since Kevin Durant left him. When he was in Oklahoma City, Kevin Durant left and they were no longer contenders. I don't think any of the teams he was on subsequently were championship contenders.
Right.
So when you are on teams that don't really have a chance to win, you have to find one, okay, try to make them win, but also a way to still be happy and to be motivated when you don't really see that as your end goal, as a realistic goal. So he just sort of became Mr. Triple-Double. He became about, I want my respect. I want to play hard. I want to, he's almost become an Iverson type, like where everybody in the game and the fans really respect Russ, but he hasn't won. And now all of a sudden, it'd be like if Iverson was traded to the Spurs or Iverson went on the Lakers at the end of his career. Like, what would have happened? I think this is going to be really, really fascinating to watch how Russ adjusts to this. And he really wants to be in L.A. I mean, we're going to talk about this a lot this year. He is very plugged into Los Angeles still. He never really left. All of his foundations, all of the work he does in his former community, he's really an LA guy. So I think it's going to be a really nice homecoming. Let's see how it works out on the court.
Okay. Woo! There you go.
There it is.
That's
like
for
that.
THT.
Yeah. That's a Woo! Nice deal they got for him, too. I was worried they were going to end up having pay him $20 million.
I thought somebody else was going to pay him, and then the Lakers were going to have to match. Instead, it sounds like they reached an accord and came up with a deal that worked for both sides. All right, coming up next for you, Momo, tonight's a big night at Dodger Stadium. The Astros are in town.
Oh, man.
And I got to tell you, I effing hate the Astros. I absolutely, the lion cheating effing Astros are at Dodger Stadium tonight. And there are 5 guys that need to be booed more than any other. I'll explain that coming up next for you. Momo's in for John, 710 ESPN. I'm going to pull an audible because this is breaking. Do we have this breaking right now? Okay. Momo, did I see breaking news?
Yeah. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Lakers have signed Kendrick Nunn.
Nice.
To a 2-year deal.
Woo!
That includes a player option on the second year. Nunn turned down significantly more money to chase the title with the Lakers. Kendrick Nunn from the Miami Heat going to the Lakers. I think it looks like they spent their mid-level exception on him.
So that's their taxpayer mid-level, which is about $5 million.
Yep.
Nice. So we add another shooter to this mix. All right. We'll get into all that coming up next. Plus Dodgers versus Astros tonight at Dodger Stadium, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wow, so the Lakers add another player in Kendrick Nunn, who scored 15 a game last year for the Miami Heat and shot 38% from three. You know, to me, Momo, he feels like he could be an ideal sixth man.
Yeah, that's exactly the way Miami started using him. But he's also a guy that if somebody's hurt or somebody needs a night off or whatever it is, he can absolutely step in there. So how did the Lakers replace Alex Caruso? Essentially Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah. Yeah. And he came here less expensively than Caruso would have cost.
Yeah.
Caruso got considerable money from Chicago. So, wow, I mean, this is a fascinating roster. I mean, you look at LeBron, AD, Westbrook, obviously. Then you look at guys who are good three-point shooters, and I'm going to put Carmelo in that category, Ellington. Ariza's good. Bazemore's good. Monk is good. Nunn is good. Those are all shooters. And remember, this is a Lakers team that was 21st in three-point shooting during the regular season and 29% from three during their series with Phoenix, in which they were eliminated in the playoffs this year. So there is your – I think that's pretty much it, although the Dennis Schroeder thing is still hanging in the air.
Yeah, it's hanging in the air. I'm trying to think roster-wise, could they even do it now? So
they've got 12. I've got 12. LeBron, AD, Westbrook, Carmelo, Wayne Ellington, Trevor Ariza, Kemp Bazemore, Malik Monk, Dwight Howard, Kendrick Nunn, Marc Gasol, THT.
Alphonso McKinney,
right, who was on a two-year deal. So that makes 13.
I thought it was 14.
10, 11, 12, 13. I've got them at 13.
Ramona's right. I'll send you the list right now.
I think 14.
Yeah, send me the list.
Have 14. I think they're still going to bring back Jared Dudley at some point. The question is who, maybe McKinney may not stay. I'm wondering about that one. We'll see what they do with the last roster spots here. They have a couple guys on two ways as well. Joel Ayayi, they signed him. The Gonzaga guy, he's on a two-way contract. I think Devontae Kaycock is still on a two-way. Is that right? I think that, if I'm trying to remember their whole roster. But two-way guys, you know, can obviously be in the G League. And they are theoretically going to have a G League this year.
This is going to be such a fun story to cover all year long.
Yeah, hashtag content.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. So much fun. And so exciting. I mean, I think generally speaking, Lakers fans are... there are way more positive Laker fans than there are negative Laker fans. I think the negative is out there. I think there are people still questioning Westbrook, does he fit, all that stuff. But I think if you sampled Laker fans, there is a huge number of Laker fans who are unbelievably excited about the roster and the way it's come together.
Yeah, I mean, and what I had my whole monologue there about people being replaceable and you get emotional attachments and
you know,
blah blah blah, and it was like, you know, to me it's yeah, people loved Caruso. You know, they loved him. He went back to the Lakers, and I can give you, you know, a little more detail if you're still there. Are you still emotionally there?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Lakers offered him something. It was below the mid-level, 3 years below the mid-level per year. He got an offer from Chicago. There was also a sign-and-trade there with Minnesota they could have done. He preferred Chicago, which was not a sign-and-trade. And even after that, he was willing to go back at $10 million a year for 3 years. He was willing to do that, take a little less to stay in L.A. But look at why the Lakers let him go. Look what they got in it instead. Malik Monk. They just got Kendrick Nunn. I mean, they filled out the roster with the minimum guys, but that money was that $10 million that they could have had Caruso for a year. that went to THT. So they essentially chose THT over Caruso.
Yep.
Which I think you could make an argument that that's probably the right choice with the younger player with more upside. But yes, you miss him. But let's see if those three players they signed to fill the one roster spot or that one salary hold, let's see if it works out.
Okay, so O'Shea Jackson Jr. just texted me. He says, it's effing over. It's over. The roster is God tier.
Ben Lyons texted me earlier, right?
Yeah.
He's very, as you know, very into Melo. He says, what color Melo's Lakers jersey should I get? Let's go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a really fun season. Now, tonight at Dodger Stadium, I think it's time to do some venting, Dodger fans. So 2017 World Series, everybody knows. I got to go to every single game in that series, including Game 6, which was the great ripoff of all time. Actually, Game 5, where Clayton Kershaw blew a four-run lead, and then blew a three-run lead. And we find out that the Astros were cheating the entire time, Houston trash cans and banging on stuff and letting Jose Altuve know what pitch was coming. So the booing tonight is going to be relentless. And by the way, I will also say it's not impossible that this is a World Series preview. The Astros are tied for the best record in the American League. The Dodgers are just behind the Giants for the best record in the National League. This could be a World Series preview. We could get that rematch in 2021. Try to get back at them for 2017. But tonight is a night to boo.
Boo!
Boo!
Oh, it's so now, satisfying.
Believe it or not,
I'm not a booer, but I feel it now. It feels good to me.
There are only five players on the Astros who were there in 2017. Can you believe that?
That's it?
Yeah, only five players are left.
Oh, but it's the five good ones.
Jose Altuve.
Correa.
Alex Bregman. Carlos Correa. Yuri Gurriel.
Oh,
and
Gurriel.
Lance McCullers Jr., who is the starting pitcher tonight.
Gurriel. I still have a thing there. He did the slur with Yu Darvish.
And that was lame.
Lame is not even strong enough of a word for it.
Yeah, well, it was highly offensive.
Yeah, highly offensive.
Yeah, I guess lame is not the right word.
Yeah.
So tonight, originally, I was going to bring a bunch of people from the station to the game, but Jorge, that never took off. That never picked up any steam. Jorge,
Mace.
I had said I wanted to go. You never said
Mace,
anything else.
I brought this up in the promotions meeting earlier today, and nobody really had any idea that you were serious, that this was a serious invite. They were all like, oh, you know, I figured you'd send an email or a text or something if you really wanted to do that. So just throwing that out there.
So, I assume everybody listens to the show. Doesn't everybody listen to Mason in Ireland every single minute?
Yeah.
They should.
They should. You're missing something.
Free invites.
Here's what I suggest. Let's do it tomorrow night for Max Scherzer's debut.
Woo!
Oh, man.
Are you in, Jorge?
I'm in. I've always been in, yeah.
Jorge is in. Momo, are you in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Momo is in. Lindsay, you cannot.
I'm in Ohio, but can you guys, like, FaceTime me for, like, a half inning and just be like, woo, pretend I'm there virtually?
Woo! We'll show you what the booing looks like. We'll show you what the booing looks like.
Please do.
So Jorge and Momo are in. Now, who else should be on our guest list for the Max? Actually, we'll do that coming up. Who else should be on our guest list for tomorrow night? I almost want to. I don't think I'm allowed to. I almost want to take a couple listeners, but I don't think I'm allowed to. Am I allowed to, Linz?
I think you're definitely allowed to.
Am I allowed to? Run that by somebody.
I think so. I'm pretty sure you are, but I'll ask. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, ask. Run that by somebody, because it would be great to bring a couple of listeners to this thing, too. Now, Momo, here's the deal. Right Field Pavilion. We want to go where the people are.
Oh, I don't know about all that.
Oh, come on.
Momo, you scared? Come on, let's go.
Woman of the people.
Did I get a home run ball?
I don't know.
That's what happens. I want to see Momo with the Michelada.
Come on. Oh. That's where the homies are at. Come on.
What's a michelada? I know what it is, but what's in it? It's like the tomato juice.
Chili, lime, and then beer.
That makes me queasy just thinking about it.
Look, so
I'll drink a beer, but I'm not drinking a that's too much for me.
All right, so we will twist Momo's arm. She's going to be there tomorrow night. Find out if I can let a couple people in. That's coming up next for you. And by the way, you know, what does – tonight's a night to vent. How do you view what happened in 2017 now? Have you let it go? Have you moved on? Or are you like me, stuck in a moment and emotionally, I will never get over it. I will never get over 2017. I don't care how many World Series we win. That was supposed to be our win. We should have won in Game 6. Had they not cheated in Game 5, we would have won in Game 6 because we won that game. I'm sorry. I can't let that go. I'm not the guy that lets stuff go. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, this is 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Again, Christopher Morales apparently doesn't believe that a player's past performance is predictive of the future. He doesn't want any numbers on the show. He hates numbers. Oh, you're playing that song.
Well, you said you're stuck in a moment.
I'm stuck in a moment, and I can't get out of it. Yeah, 2017.
Oh, 2017. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I will never let that one go.
Never.
Never.
Never under any circumstances.
I mean, I think it was like one of the saddest nights. Game 7 was one of the saddest nights of my sports life.
It was. Afterwards, so depressing.
You know, they had this like party out in the outfield. Remember how they had that like that tent where you could go afterwards?
Yeah, and now they've got the big center field pavilion.
Yeah, and so like afterwards there was like a party out there. And yep. I remember my friends and I who had gone to the game, we ended up going out there because there was so much traffic. So we're like, oh, okay, we'll just go to this party. This is the saddest party. And then later we walked to our cars and it was like, ugh.
Game 7 was the worst game.
That was
the worst game.
A bad game.
Because you know what? It was over after the second inning. It was over after the second.
For those of us who grew up in LA, this was the first time the Dodgers had been in the World Series since 1988. Like,
yep.
this was it. I remember seeing so many people who I know are native Angelinos who went to those games that year, and it was like soul crushing. They just got worked in that Game 7.
I bought tickets for Game 7.
Yeah, me too. I bought them the whole time.
Because Juan, he knows how crazy I am about the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Juan wanted to be there to see me when the Dodgers won. He wanted to be there for that.
Didn't Juan's you get one for Greg, too? You get tickets
we
for Greg?
We ran a little scam with a press pass that year. And Greg
shouldn't
got to be
talk
at the
about
game.
That openly. Jeez.
No. Bergman had a press pass. That's why he was there.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I have been told that we are allowed to give away. Now, Momo, are you really going to big time us?
I already had plans. Like, like I'm not big time. Come say hi. What am I supposed to be like? I was going with my friend.
Are you? Do you think you're better than the right field pavilion fans?
It's not my scene. I will be wearing a mask. I am very concerned about the Delta variant, and right field is very loud and raucous and crowded.
You'll be wearing a mask even though it's outside?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I went to the Hollywood Bowl, wore a mask the whole time.
What'd you see?
I saw Cynthia Erivo. Oh, my God, is she amazing.
She's a singer, right?
She is. She's played Aretha in that miniseries.
Yeah.
She really is that good. She's like...
And you wore a mask the entire time. Even though it's outside.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I was at the finals, and they were testing all of us every day, and there were a lot of breakthrough infections amongst media people and just people in and around the finals. Like fully vaccinated people, and there were a lot of breakthroughs, and so I'm not messing with it. I got a 2-year-old. He is not vaccinated. I'm not gonna mess with it.
Yeah, that's true. I get that. I get that.
So
right field is too good for you.
I will come say hello.
Okay.
Mace,
I will come say hello.
Yeah. Mace, you said so right field is too good for you. You meant to say so you're too good for right field, right?
Oh yeah, I meant.
Yeah,
to say,
I know
so
what you
you're
meant.
Too good for right field. That's exactly what
just
I
just point it out. Just point it out.
So we just got approval. Yeah, yeah. I am allowed to give away a night with Mace to a local ball game to boo a team that cheated.
How often do they have to boo? The whole time.
I'm gonna boo the whole time.
I mean, Ramona, Mason's going dressed as a trash can.
I'm going dressed as a trash can.
Hey, can we do the wave? Can we do the wave?
I will definitely come say hello.
Jorge, if you want to do the wave, I will allow it, although yeah. I am going to be locked into the game and not necessarily doing the wave. You've been in the right field pavilion, right, Jorge?
Of course. Those are like the first seats I've ever went to. Yeah,
that's where crazy fans are.
So the homies are, man.
Exactly.
I mean, I'll probably sit in the upper deck. Like, I think it's not like I'm, you know, bougie down in the lower deck or something.
You're not in the dugout club.
Yeah, I'm not in the dugout club, and I'm buying these myself, you know. So, but I like to be.
This is a funny.
I like my space. I liked my social distance. I'm not happy about the full stadium anymore.
Okay, so me and Chris Morales, who's the guy you hear at the beginning and every end of every break or the
coming back to Mason
break.
And I
coming back. Yeah, just, here's what Mason said. So. He and I went to a game, I think it was 2 years ago, and somehow it was me and Chris Morales, and I don't remember the circumstance, but Morales talked the entire game, chewed my
ear. But Morales is a talker. What do you
expect?
He is
a talker.
And I never said a word to him. I was locked in on that game.
Oh, you're that's not fun.
I was there to watch a game. I was not there to have a chat with Chris Morales, who I can talk to any damn time.
We talk in baseball. Come on, that's what we do at a game.
So are you the guy who goes to the game and you wear like your headphones and you tune into the game on the radio and
not
you sit there and you score,
I know
you
that
score
guy.
The game?
No, I do not score the game, and I don't believe anybody scores at home anymore. I think that's an old-fashioned pastime. Yeah. Announcers
I think
stop
Clinton Yates
that.
Scores at the games.
He
I
might.
Really do.
He might.
He might. So we will – I'm trying to think how we're going to do this. We'll give away a night with Mace and Momo. Actually, just a night with Mace to a local ball game to boo a team that cheated tomorrow night. And here's how we're going to do it. Between now and 3:55, I am going to tell a lie. Of all the stories
I like
tell,
this.
One of them is going to be a lie. If you can figure it out, and again, it's only not, you got to hang with us for 90 minutes. If you can figure it out, you will win. You and a guest, a night with Mace to a local ball game to boo a team that cheated tomorrow night. So start paying attention to everything we say. Now, one of the things I think is interesting about tonight, Momo, we're going to see the debut of Trey Turner, I assume. The
Whoa.
Debut of Trey Turner.
He's okay now? He's off the COVID list?
Oh, you know what? I forgot he was on the COVID
list.
Oh, we may not see Trey Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the status of that. But here's my question. You're a big Dodger fan. When Trey Turner is healthy and able to play, is Trey Turner at second base with Cody Bellinger in center field?
Yeah.
Or is Trey Turner in center field with Bellinger on the bench?
Ooh.
Bellinger has been downright
terrible this year.
Awful this year. I just can't believe the 28 MVP.
It's really unbelievable.
Has devolved into this.
Just, you know, he lost a swing.
Lost a swing.
He had shoulder surgery, didn't he? Say that.
He's really not been the same. Yeah, he did. Because remember, he did the high five, the shoulder bump.
Isn't that crazy that caused this?
Yeah, I know.
It all goes back to this.
Everybody, simple high five. Let's not jump in the air
and
bump each other anymore. Exactly.
People always want to. I remember when I played, like Mendoza always liked doing that. She was like, "Let's just like jump into each other," and I was like, "No, what? Girls don't do that." It's
you didn't
weird.
Do the body bump. You were never a body bump person.
No, it was weird, and I was like, and it's awkward because there's, I mean. I said girls don't do that, but
yes,
there's a double meaning to it, okay?
I understand that. Like, I understand. I've got
sort of, yeah, no. I don't want to fall down. I don't need to
do
that.
I've never asked you this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. So
okay.
I saw Jess Mendoza is in Tokyo. I'm not sure what she's doing in Tokyo.
She did the softball for NBC.
Oh, she did do the softball. Okay, good for her. So she went to the Olympics and won a gold medal, right?
Yeah, and a silver, gold and silver.
How close were you? I know you played with her at Stanford. How close were you? How good enough were you to make an Olympic team? How close?
Not even close. No.
Not even close?
No. That was funny. I was on the same team as an Olympian. That's as close as I was.
So you never even got to go to an Olympics camp or anything like that?
No, I'm not that good.
See, I always hear you drop Jess Mendoza's name, and I'm
no,
like,
no, we were
oh.
on the same team.
Yeah,
we were friends.
Like, Ramona must have had a chance to go to the Olympics too.
There's a pretty wide gap.
like, a wide gap between you and Jess.
Yeah, I mean, like, people, early on in my radio career or TV career, people would say, oh, she was an All-American at Stanford. I'm like, I was an academic All-American. I'm like, really, wasn't an All-American. I was on the team. I played. I started, yes. But
who were you? You were Kike Hernandez?
No, because I wasn't that versatile. Like,
you were not that versatile. Kike,
yeah, well, was I like the, you know, yeah. Was
you
I,
were like
the,
a fifth outfielder.
Fourth.
Fourth outfielder. There you go.
Like, I guess I would be like Matt Beatty. Okay. Like, who else can we comp to? You know, I was kind of, I was fast and I was scrappy and I was a really good defensive outfielder. So they,
yep.
Whenever anybody, like Mendoza, her first year, I can't say because it was like, I guess HIPAA or something. She couldn't play in the field. She could only hit her first year. And I was always in center field. Like, I was always played for her. And I was, like, the defensive-only player. In softball, they have that where you can be the defo.
You were a defensive replacement?
Yeah. I was the defo.
Well,
defense only. Yeah. And I was the pinch runner girl. I was, like, always, if I wasn't in the lineup, I was the first one off the bench because I was really fast. And I was tricky. Like, I was, like, hook slides and getting a pickle. I was, like, that girl.
You know, I really...
versatile in that way.
Before I get to Radio Tinder, I was going to just say, I was texting today with somebody I normally do the Olympics with.
Oh.
And, you know, I miss being at the Olympics.
I know you do.
Being there is like a totally different animal. And I had two of my greatest career moments at the Olympics. One was in 2002. And Jorge, you can probably find this. We've played it before. But it's when I called Jim Shea winning the gold medal in the skeleton. His grandfather had competed at the Olympics. His dad had competed at the Olympics. And now Jim Shea was competing on the skeleton, in the skeleton. And I was doing the play-by-play for Westwood One. And I think it's one of my, and it, with all humility, which I'm not good at, I think it was one of my best pieces of broadcasting of my whole career. Jorge, were you able to turn it up?
No, I'm
no,
looking.
No, okay, looking. We'll play that coming up.
I've heard this before. It is good. You did a very good
and
call.
The other one, and I got to do this live on NBC. I got to do it. They played it live on NBC. So I was doing the shooting events in 2004 in Greece. And actually, I was working with Spiro Didis, who is Greek and actually is fluent in Greek, so he was really valuable to be around during those Olympic Games. And there was a guy named Matthew Emmons. And Matthew Emmons was not expected to medal in the 10-meter air rifle. Not expected to medal. But I got word that I had to show up at NBC and call something, and they wouldn't tell me what it was. Like, this already happened. We don't know. We don't want you to know what it is. We want you to just call it live. So I knew something extraordinary must have happened, and I assumed Matthew Emmons was going to win. So Emmons is shooting. It's 10 shots, and you got to hit the target. So Matthew Emmons is like dead on. Bam, 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 bam. 9 times. Hits the target perfectly. He's in position for the gold medal. He takes his 10th shot, and I don't see any mark on the target. And I'm like, he appears to have missed the target. Then I look over at the next target, the target next to it, and he had shot somebody else's target and ended up losing the gold medal at the 2004 Olympics.
Oh, man.
And I got to call that live, and in the moment, it was an unbelievable thing to be able to describe. And Costas, NBC, because it had already happened, put it in their primetime. And it was like one of my career highlights was being on primetime Olympics on NBC. Yeah, with Costas. He introduced me. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff she wants to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is Radio Tinder time. If you're not following Lindsay already on Instagram, oh, what are you waiting for? It's at Lindsay Baseball. Go check it out. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. So you may remember, or you may not remember, last week, images surfaced of samples of what's rumored to be Kyrie Irving's next signature shoe with Nike, the Kyrie 8. And let me tell you, as a big fan of Kyrie's shoes, they're my favorite shoes. I have, like, especially the Kyrie 3s. Those are my favorite shoes of all time. As a big Kyrie fan, they were very disappointing. But anyway, Nobody apparently told Kyrie about this sample image, so he took to Instagram to distance himself from it, writing, quote, "I have nothing to do with the design or marketing of the upcoming Kyrie 8. IMO, these are trash. I have absolutely nothing to do with them. Nike plans to release it without my okay, regardless of what I say, so I apologize in advance to all my sneakerheads and true supporters of the brand."
Okay.
Well, obviously, that wasn't great for him to call out Nike like that, but today, Kyrie released a statement to NBA insider Sham Sharania regarding the comments that says, "When you're building something great, there sometimes comes a point when you need to recalibrate and refocus to ensure everyone involved is aligned. This is where the Kyrie brand and Nike are. It was unfair to put the blame on Nike or any one person. With that being said, we're diligently working, restructuring, and reimagining things together to make sure we get it right." All right, so he kind of apologized, but also kind of clarified what happened. I want to know, should Kyrie have commented about this publicly in the first place? Swipe left or swipe right?
I would swipe left. I think it's probably a mistake to throw what is essentially your partner under the bus. I understand that the shoes, by all accounts, are being viewed as ugly, right? Is that basically...
Oh, yeah, they're hideous. And they don't... Kyrie's shoes all have, like, they all kind of have something in common with each other, and these are just nothing like the rest, and they're hideous.
Was he just not involved in the first ones?
I guess it's what he said.
And they didn't... It was a mistake that they leaked it, correct?
I think so. I mean, I don't really know exactly what happened, but maybe it turned out that, like, see, and this is why I ask you guys a question, because to me, I feel like maybe it was a good thing that he commented about it on social media, because had he not, maybe they would have just put the shoes out there anyway.
You know, I always wonder about this because, okay, it sounds to me from the outside looking in that Nike was probably going back and forth with a bunch of ideas and models and things that they could do for the next version of it. And he probably wasn't super responsive. I mean, this is just a guess, okay? But why would you get to that stage and to the point where you could be, you know, releasing something and the guy acts surprised? Well, maybe he wasn't responding. Maybe they were sending him stuff and he wasn't engaging.
It is Kyrie.
Yeah, it's Kyrie. I mean, this is a guess, but that sounds right to me. So in one case, it's like, okay, well, who's to blame for that? I mean, is that on you? Is that on them? But also, this is your employer. So I've had this happen in the last couple of days where I get misaggregated or whatever. Yesterday, I went on the job. We were talking about Alex Caruso, and I said he had a couple of offers. I think I went on Sedano's show or something, too. And some random person said, Caruso has interest from Phoenix. I'm like, never in any interview did I say that. Completely wrong. But if you look on the internet, hey, Ramona says she has interviewed. And I'm like, I don't know where you're getting this from. Should I go on the internet and should I go on Twitter and be like, I don't know where you got this from, but that's not what I said. It's happened today. Like I was on the jump. We talked about the Sixers. I said, hey, I think they're open to keeping Ben Simmons. They might even prefer that. But Ben has to want that too. And right now he doesn't seem inclined to go back there. It doesn't sound like it's a good relationship. And the only part that got accurate was, I think the Sixers want to keep him. And I'm like, I said a lot more than that. Should I go and clarify it online even when it's like you said? So I don't know. Like, you make it worse sometimes. You make it a bigger story even though what's being out there is wrong.
Yeah.
Does that make it weird? He made it a bigger story.
There's an old expression about hanging a lantern on your problem.
Yeah.
You need to hang a lantern on this one. People, it was gonna be a one day story, just a little bubble that passed by, and people were gonna let it go by highlighting it. I think it's a mistake.
Initially, too, he didn't even need to say the first thing.
Right, right.
He didn't need to say it. He could have just called somebody at Nike and be like, "Hey, I hate those shoes."
But don't you think though? But don't you think? See, my question is, don't you think that he probably did do that because he said in the tweet or in the original Instagram post, he said, They didn't listen to me, and they're going to release them regardless of what I say. So do you think maybe it
yeah, maybe took you did
him,
then.
You know, going out there on social media and completely ripping them and having all the sneakerheads come after Nike
maybe.
And be like, what are you doing?
Although, how much is Nike paying him?
I know.
That's the thing. I mean, he's biting the hand that feeds
but,
him.
But, Mace, I will say that Kyrie shoes are probably the most popular that are not like next to LeBron. I'm pretty sure they're the most popular and they're the highest sellers of like any of the basketball shoes next to LeBron's. They might be right, like really, really close to LeBron's. So I feel like, you know, you want Kyrie to have his stamp of approval on it. Because to me, as a sneakerhead, if I see that message that Kyrie posted for these ugly shoes, I probably wouldn't buy them because I'm like, A, these are ugly, and B, Kyrie didn't even want them to make
these. I need to know what actually went on behind the scenes before we passed judgment, because my initial reaction was, I like that expression, Mace. I like that. Don't hang a lantern on your problems. Like the thing about social media is it's the equivalent of somebody who yells at you outside the window as they're driving by. Like, there's a lot of people who, like, when you're driving by, hey, you idiot, right? Like that's literally what's... So he made it a bigger issue by the way he tweeted about it. But maybe you're right. Maybe he did say something behind the scenes and they didn't listen to him. So,
you know what's interesting about Nike? You know, they probably... I think they're the best marketed company there is. I mean, can you think of a company that markets itself more smart? Apple. Yeah, yeah. Apple's right there. Google does a nice job. I mean, there are companies that do well. But Nike has worked on me because everything I own has the swoosh. I mean, T-shirts.
Well, Wieden Kennedy is their advertising firm, and they are wizards. They are so good.
T-shirts and hoodies.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 pairs of Nike tennis shoes. People always, when I put out videos of my golf, people always comment on my Nike shoes that I'm wearing. Everything is Nike. So the advertising campaign is fantastic. Mm-hmm. This thing is just a mess, and I think Kyrie made it worse. By the way, we are giving away a night with me to a local ball game to see a team that cheated. You've got to be able to pick out the lie that I tell between now and 3 o'clock. We started about a half hour ago. So if you're still listening, hang in there. We'll give you a chance to win at the end of the show.
Baseball.
Linz, what's next?
Well, and just really quick, I'm going to post, I'll repost both the picture of the ugly shoes and Kyrie's post about them.
Okay,
just so everyone can see them. So I'll post it on my Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. So make sure you're following me on Instagram.
Okay.
All right, next one here. The Buffalo Bills want taxpayers to fully fund a new $1.5 billion stadium, and they're floating Austin, Texas, as a city that would welcome them should they decide that they need to leave upstate New York. The Buffalo News reported that Bills ownership has, quote, made no threats about relocating, but has made clear to government negotiators that there are other cities elsewhere that desire an NFL franchise and would pay handsomely for it. So this is all just kind of, you know, a bunch of back and forth between city officials and the Bills ownership and the stadium people. So I guess what it boils down to is, do you think the Bills would actually move out of Buffalo? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe left. It would be criminal for the Buffalo Bills to move out of Buffalo. Now, there's got to be a way to finance a new stadium. There's got to be. It doesn't always have to come from public money. You know, in the case of the Rams, the SoFi Stadium, privately financed. In the case of a lot of ballparks and a lot of stadiums, it's a public-private partnership. You know, I am not a proponent of the taxpayers writ large paying for a stadium. Like, not everybody in Buffalo is a Buffalo Bills fan. Not everybody in upstate New York is going to go to a game, so why should everybody have to pay for the stadium? But there's got to be a way to do it, and I think for them to move would be criminal.
I agree with you. They have a pretty good market there. They have a fan base that always turns out. I think they sell out all the time. And Austin, Texas, it's actually a really big growing market right now in terms of metropolis. Like, man, we should have bought houses in Austin like 3 years ago.
It's booming right now.
Before Joe Rogan moved.
Before he took all of the comics to there with him too.
Yeah, it's a good town. I like Austin. It's not big enough to support another franchise. They already have the Texans. They already have the Cowboys.
Right.
Well,
I think it would work. I think an NFL franchise generally works wherever you put it. But it would be just wrong to move that team out of Buffalo. There's got to be a way to resolve that problem.
You know what, Mace? Everybody said the same thing about the Browns when Art Modell wanted to move them out of Cleveland. People were like, there's no way. The Browns are an iconic franchise. Like, probably even more so than the Bills. And the Browns got moved out of Cleveland for the same exact reason.
Snuck out in the middle of the night.
Hey, you idiot!
How do you feel about the syntax, by the way, to pay for a stadium? Because that's what they did for the ballpark in Cleveland.
Okay, now tell me a syntax. Describe it.
So the syntax puts an additional tax on alcohol and tobacco for I guess it's the county that Cleveland is in. It might be surrounding counties, but as far as I'm aware, it's at least the county that Cleveland is in, which is Cuyahoga. On all of those purchases, there's an additional tax that
helps fund
the stadium.
Is that how you say Cuyahoga? Is that what you say?
Yep,
not Cuyahoga.
I always said it was Cuyahoga.
Oh, no, I call it Cuyahoga.
I mean, you're a local, so I
trust Cuyahoga.
So a sin tax, so you tax purchases of alcohol and tobacco. You could also, although taxes are so high on cannabis already, you could.
Yeah, but that's not even legal here yet completely for recreational purposes. So that's not even in the mix, but
in
some
New
places
York?
It is. Oh, yeah. Is it in New York for recreational?
I think it is
think
for
it
recreational
be.
Now.
I think it is.
I think the governor did that. So you can conceivably make it for cannabis, alcohol, and tobacco. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way. And by the way, in the end, gambling would be another place. That would fall into the category of a sin tax. If that's what it takes to keep the bills in Buffalo, then I would say I'm all for a sin tax.
All right, last one really quick here. So Jeopardy has cleared up some confusion about its rules amidst the controversy over their current champion, Matt Amodio. Amodio, we'll call him, okay? In case you're not familiar with what's been happening on the beloved quiz show, some viewers became concerned with Amodio's method of answering each of his questions with what's or what is, even though the answer sometimes involved a person. For example...
Historical 16.
1177 BC marks the decline of this ancient North African empire following invasions by marauding sea peoples that year. Matt.
What's Egypt?
Correct.
Okay, so that's how he answers literally every question.
Every question.
Even if it's about a person.
I happen to see him on, and he does. What's George Clooney?
Yeah.
Like
and everyone, yeah, and everyone was going nuts about it. Well, then the Jeopardy Twitter account stepped in yesterday, and they posted a tweet that included a link to the official rules of the show from their official website, which read, "Over the many years that Jeopardy has been on the air, we've experienced some rare scenarios that require us to refer back to the official rules of the game. Streaking champ Matt Amodio has received a lot of attention lately for his unorthodox use of what's. According to the site, the rules state... all contestant responses to an answer must be phrased in the form of a question. Jeopardy does not require the response to be grammatically correct. So, his no-frills approach is a unique but well within the guidelines. Does this bother you, even though it's completely legal?
It is. It does not bother me at all. In fact, if we play Mason and Ireland Jeopardy, usually I write that game on the show. If you want to go with what's, I'm totally fine with that. It was weird seeing him do it, and it's definitely not grammatically correct. But I
Matt,
can't say it
what's,
bothers
what's,
me a lot.
What's
George Clooney? What's Steve Mason?
I'm okay with it. I mean, I think it's all part of the quirk. Like, I think it's... The Jeopardy is a show for very quirky people. In most walks of life, people who are really good at
Jeopardy.
My brother's been on... He's awesome. It was so good. This was like... We all had a watch party. I mean, this was a really big deal.
I'm sure.
That he made it onto Jeopardy. He did good. He went up against Jeopardy James, and I'm kind of
did
proud
he win?
Of him. No, he lost. Well, I mean, Jeopardy James won. James Holzhauser, right?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
He was one of the first people to lose to him. So, but he had a sense. Like, he was really good at not telling anybody what happened. He goes, after he lost, he basically, my brother was in it, and then he missed on one big question, which he actually contends he was correct on the interpretation of what he said. They said he was wrong, but he wasn't. And he lost like $4,000 on that one, and then it was
right.
over. Because once you lose against James, it's over, right? Like
sure.
when you have a big loss. And anyway, so it's people who are on Jeopardy. I mean, they're not necessarily cool in other ways, right?
I would say that's true.
But on Jeopardy, they're super cool.
They're super cool. I was actually on a game show. I was on a game show called Sale of the Century.
Ooh.
And I remember getting the first question right. It was like, who am I? And the guy said, Jim Perry was the host. He said, I was a weatherman in Indianapolis. Ding, David Letterman. Like right there.
Yeah.
Ding, David Letterman.
Dang.
Ended up losing, finished third on Sale of the Century. An embarrassing moment in my career, but I'd love to go back on another game show.
All
right, coming up next, we will, don't forget, at some point today, I'm going to tell a lie. if you can pick it out, if you sniff it out at the end of the show, you can win a night with Mason at a local ball game to boo a team that cheated tomorrow night. We will do that at the end of the show today. We also got Game of Games coming up for you in 45 minutes. And reaction to Carmelo Anthony, THT, and Kendrick Nunn all joining the Lakers. Coming up next for you, Mason Ireland 710 ESPN.